Welcome to your weekly coaching session from Church Media HQ, designed to teach you a new concept, provide creative insight, and maybe even help you avoid a mistake, all so that you can achieve excellence in your media and marketing. Now, if you find this content helpful, then help out someone else by taking a moment to share it with another leader or creative like yourself. This episode is brought to you by our web services from Church Media HQ. Of course, this coaching series is all about improving your church online experience. And while I hope this content gives you the knowledge you need to do just that, my team and I would love to take it to the next level and actually provide your church with an all new website. And of course, there's no risk to you because we actually start the design of your website for free. You only pay if you like what you see. And when you're ready to launch your new website, you could start for less than $15 a month when you use the code WEBUPGRADE at signup. This is not just some do-it-yourself web platform where you pay us for the privilege to build your website by yourself. No, our team does all the heavy lifting by setting up and supporting your website. Get us started on your new website for free today at churchmediahq.com/web and use promo code WEBUPGRADE when you're ready to launch and save 25% off your first year. That's churchmediahq.com/web. In this episode, we continue our controversial coaching series about an unconventional approach to church online. I'm your host, Luke Clayton, and welcome to Church Media HQ. In order to move into this final phase, you have to not only have perfected the first four phases, but you have to be ready to make significant investment. This is where you invest the hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions or more. And I'm serious. If your budget does not have six digits for this phase, you are not ready for this phase. I'm serious. That sounds crazy. That's $100,000+. I know. But if your budget does not have six digits, you are not ready for this phase. Because if you're going to do it right, it will cost that much, if not way more. So this is where you're going to invest into the equipment and the expertise needed to produce high quality broadcast of your in-person worship service. Now, this phase could actually be divided into a couple of smaller mini phases, if you will. So let's talk about phase 5A, which would be to record and broadcast your sermon only. So we're going to prioritize the sermon, not only because it's the most important part of your worship experience, but because it's going to be a simpler way, or it's going to be a much simpler to record and capture the sermon alone than the entire worship service. So, I mean, think about it. If all you've got to do is record the preaching, well, you could probably get away with just having a couple of camera angles and a audio feed from just the pastor, and that's going to be enough. Because once you get into this next phase, as you'll see, this is when it gets really complicated. So that's phase 5B, which would involve recording and broadcasting your entire service, including the worship. This is where the multiple camera angles, the lower thirds lyrics, the audio mixing, and many, many more crucial and potentially complex components of live broadcast come into the play. It truly is a whole new level of production value that requires some serious investment and commitment, and you should take absolutely zero shortcuts. If you're going to do this, you're going to do it right. Don't say, oh, we could do it without this, we could do it without that. Now look, be wise. I'm not saying you need, 20 different camera angles. No, you're probably good with two or three to start, but you don't want to take shortcuts. Don't say, oh, well, we'll shirk this on the audio and we won't care so much about the lighting. No, if you're going to do this, you're going all in. All the chips are in. You are going all in on this investment. And while many churches are willing to make some level of commitment, they are unable to make this investment, which results in an end product that lacks quality and is just so often, bad. I'm well aware that your church could likely be in this category. You honestly probably didn't know better, so you just skipped right in this phase. And honestly, without going on too much of a tirade here, I'm really upset, especially in this pandemic, how a lot of these, you know, companies really that do live stream, they kind of, I don't know. To me, they misled a lot of you out there. They said, oh, well, here, we're going to make it simple for you to do live stream. We're going to make it really affordable. And yeah, there's some cool stuff out there. And honestly, the price, the cost, the equipment rather is generally more affordable than maybe it was 5-10 years ago. But overall, there's really no cheap way to do this and to do this right. And so you were just kind of led astray. You skipped right to this phase and probably did make what to you was a significant investment for your church. You know, you invested into things like cameras. You spent the tens of thousands of dollars on the cameras, the equipment, and you're just trying to make live stream happen. So if this is you, please understand, I'm not coming down on you. I know you were doing the best with what you could with the knowledge and resource and that you had at the time. So I'm wondering this though, if you're willing to revisit your church online experience, can you find a way to make what you have work within the progression of these five phases? So with that in mind, here are some final questions that you may have as you do revisit your church online experience. So you might say this, well, our church has already made the investment, like I was just talking. We've already made the investment, and we've got everything in place to do live stream, even though you're willing to admit it's not done well. So what do we do now? Well, here's what I would say. I would say don't necessarily waste that investment. I'm not saying throw it all out. Here's what I would do. I would reserve the live stream of services for those who request it only. Keep access to it private. Maybe you do have those who are, for whatever reason, they can't leave their home, they're sick, they're disabled, and they really do want to watch, you know, they would be there if they could, but you want them to, but they're not. So they're going to watch online. So, you know, just keep some version of the live feed, but keep it private and make it by request only. And don't broadcast it out there for everybody to see. This is more about making a positive impression on those who are new to your church online experience. That's what we're going for. We're not saying that the poor disabled people and sick people can never watch your church service. Well, no. If you've got the means to do it, then okay, let's just make it private and make it a request-only thing. And with the mindset that live stream will become by request only, well, consider that maybe streamlining your setup and perhaps, you know, selling some of these cameras and equipment that you don't really need. You might find that, hey, that's possible. Hey, we invested into three kind of like meh camera angles. But if we're going to make this a request only private live stream, we get away with just having one wide angle in the back. Again, if people really want to be at your church bad enough, and these are the people, the ones who just can't make it, they're probably not going to make a big deal that you got rid of, you know, the extra two angles. This is an example. So if for the foreseeable future, your live stream is going to be viewed by these select viewers only, then you really could minimize your system. You could sell off some of that gear, streamline it, and then now you have a few funds to maybe do something else with. Now, anyone can do phases 1 and 2. So start there. You know, get online at all these places we talked about, you know, Google, social media. Make sure your church, if nothing else, has a presence there. And then let's get into your website. If it needs an overhaul, make it happen. These are things that anybody can do at any phase and really should have been done a long time ago. And if you do have a live stream set up, this likely means you are able to actually record good audio of your sermon. And if you're not, if your live stream, which I have heard live streams that have horrible audio, in fact, that's one of the biggest issues I have with live stream quality itself. It's not so much the videos, it is the audio is awful. But if your setup is in such a way to where you are able to record good quality audio, well, cool. Now you're able to use that for this phase 3 and get your sermon audio out there on podcast. From there, work your way up to phase 4. Again, if you're able to sell off some of those cameras and equipment from your live stream setup, maybe use those funds to purchase just one nice camera, lighting, and gear that you need to set up a nice studio for producing that online-only content. In phases 1 through 4, and even into 5A, what do we do about, this is another question that you may have. So if you're in phases 1 through 4 and even 5A, what are you going to do about offering worship music to your church online audience? Well, Very good question, very good concern. Now, the simplest recommendation I have is to offer resources for worship music that fits your church's style. So, for example, maybe you find some worship music videos online or some links to some playlists on Spotify and Apple Music and share them on social media. This is something that, if you really think about it, in particular when it comes to worship music, again, people are so much more likely to listen to this than to maybe watch a video. You know, if you're doing, you're saying, well, what are we going to do? You know, we're singing, we're having worship every Sunday, and now people can't watch that. Well, I mean, honestly, is that really that big of a loss? I mean, I wonder how many people are actually, yeah, I'm sure there are some people that are watching that worship experience, but what if you could say, well, hey, look, we have some worship songs that we've sung in our church, same kind of style and format by, you know, yes, maybe other artists or whatever, but hey, here's a playlist. You throw that out there on social media, you send an email out about it, check it out and worship digitally this way. And so that's one thought. Now, just like your sermon, producing audio-only versions of worship music is actually much simpler than producing video. Now, to be clear, to do this right is an undertaking, and it's going to require some investment, some time commitment, but producing and distributing music is now more simple than it ever has been. So let's say you say, oh, I actually want to have original content produced by our worship team and by the music department at our church. And we're going to produce that and put that out for people to hear. Look, don't get me wrong. It's going to take some effort, but that's much, much simpler than producing a video of it. So, you know, produce the audio, you know, go through the channels to make it legal and get the rights to produce the music and all that good stuff, and then get it out there. And some people may appreciate that. And then once you have the audio quality versions of your music, you actually could produce a music video version of some of these tracks. Again, it's a production, but it can be done. And the end product, if done right, will be much better than the quality produced by most live stream worship songs right now. And the nice thing is when you really invest into maybe producing a nice audio, even if it's audio only, or maybe even kind of music video of your worship content or your worship music, well, now that's online forever. I remember having to, I really enjoyed doing it, producing Easter back in 2020 when Easter was online only. I produced these music videos for a church of some of their, you know, Easter resurrection themed songs. We produced like four or five of them. Well, guess what? Now they're online forever and they're so much better quality than any live stream would have been. And so, you know, these are all ways that, yeah, you can do the online worship experience as well. Keep in mind that anything you produce and publish online, again, I'm going to emphasize this, is a permanent digital asset that could reach and impact countless people for years to come. Which leads me to this final question that you may have. And that's this. You're saying, Luke, does any of this really matter? I mean, as long as we are doing something, even if it's not the highest quality, isn't that better than nothing? Well, this church online and live stream debacle, if you will, has really become a major concern with me and others. I'm not the only person who shares this. In fact, I'm not going to name names. There's a really, really popular church media kind of guru or whatever out there, personality influencer, that shares all of my same opinions. In fact, I had all these opinions. I thought about it myself. I thought, man, this live stream thing is really off. It's something wrong about it. And lo and behold, he comes out with videos saying the same thing. And so I'm not the only person who thinks this. It's a major concern, and it has become one in particular these past couple of years because live stream has become, for better or for worse, a much more dominant aspect of church online. And so on the one hand, I am very grateful that the pandemic and the lockdowns caused churches to at least up their game to do something in this area. I will look at that as some level of a win. But on the other hand, I'm really frustrated that in order to try to just make something happen, the quality of the end product was just, in many cases, awful. You know, many churches squandered their opportunity in the pandemic. And that's a pretty harsh statement to make. And look, again, I am not a pastor. I'm not a church leader. I am, to some extent, an outsider looking and observing. And so it was difficult. I thank God I wasn't a pastor during the pandemic. But the pandemic, as hard as it was and as challenging as it was, presented some really big opportunities for churches. I've seen churches that were able to really revolutionize everything about them because of the pandemic. It was kind of like a big reset where they were able to step back, observe, do things different for the sake of the pandemic, and then carry a lot of those changes over. For example, I saw churches that before would have never imagined having multiple worship services, and now that is just part of their weekly worship offerings and experience. And I think that's for the better. But then I saw others that they scrambled to make something work during the lockdowns, and as soon as they had the opportunity to get back to normal, they did. And they virtually changed nothing. I just really hate to see these opportunities squandered. You know, a lot of times opportunity is, you know, it comes in kind of like a almost like a, if you will, a sheep in wolf's clothing. It comes along as something that seems bad, but actually, hey, there's some blessing here. There's some benefit, something we can do here. And so I just don't want to see these opportunities squandered because we live in the age of streaming. The world will do nothing less than the best to entertain and make a buck and often push their godless message. But on the other hand, the church, well, they seem to do almost everything to cut corners and save a buck when we have a life-changing message. And yet, there are still those churches out there that just don't think their online presence is really that big of a deal. For those, I really can't help you. But then there are the ones that you might see the importance. But the old habits, die hard. So they're just going to keep doing it because it's always been done this way. And by the way, if I'm describing you, no hard feelings. We can agree to disagree and move on. But then, there is what I'm almost positive will be a small minority that actually do see the potential of reaching people online and want to make the most of this. Now, if this is you, then I want to challenge you to look at what your church is doing online and start moving through these five phases. Also, if this is you, then I for sure want to meet you. I want to talk to you. Because if you are one of the few minds out there that actually agrees with my, what is of course always right, opinion, then I definitely want to meet with you. And in all seriousness, I would love to talk to you more about your specific ideas, maybe how this could work on at your church. And by the way, I'll also say this too. If you disagree with me, I actually would love to invite you onto our podcast here to have a discussion about where you disagree, where you think I'm off, or maybe you don't want to do that. Maybe that's too much of a commitment. Okay, drop a comment. Let me know what you think. I don't want to be an echo chamber here at Church Media HQ. We want to hear all the opinions. And so whether you agree or disagree, I want to talk to you. But you know, yeah, for those of you that agree in particular and you want to do something about it, well, I want to talk to you no matter who you are, where you're at. If you head over to churchmediahq.com/coach, you could find an upcoming session where we can talk all about it. Head over to churchmediahq.com/coach and schedule a session. And I look forward to speaking with you. Regardless of your church's size or your church's budget, you can effectively reach your digital audience. My team and I would love nothing more than to help. If nothing else, I hope you'll get started with the free resources that we have here at Church Media HQ. You know, we could start the design of a new website or custom graphic at no cost to you. You'll get a fresh new graphic sent right to your inbox every week. You get these free coaching sessions. And there really is. There's so much more for free. And we did this because we didn't want cost to be a barrier any longer for your church to have excellent media. I mean, I say this honestly. There are many churches out there that just take the free content that we put out there and they have been able to make improvements in one way or another in their media. If that's all you ever do, then honestly, I'm just glad to have a small part in your church reaching more people, both in person and online. So start today at churchmediahq.com. That's of course, churchmediahq.com. Well, thanks for joining me for this coaching series. And until next time, I want you to stay innovative, keep dreaming, and please don't ever stop creating. And I'll see you again very soon right here on Church Media HQ.